Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, tonight that your word is alive. It's full of power. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and that it is the discerner, the seer into of the thoughts and even the intents of the heart. God, so help us now by teaching us, leading us, guiding us, bringing us into all truth. Holy Spirit, you have full reign in this place. We have no need that any man teach us, because you, by way of the Holy Spirit, will teach us and show us all these things that we need to know, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we have the victory over the enemy. We remind you, Satan, that you're bound. Your future is in the lake of fire. And so we want to just torment you for a few moments before we send you off. You have no right and no part in these proceedings tonight. This word is going into good ground to bring forth great fruit and abundance. We decree a thing. We call it done. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And Father, we will see the victory coming out of their lives because of your word coming into their lives. In Jesus' name, we declare it done. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, give God another praise. Come on, praise the Lord once again. All right, you may be seated. And let's go to Romans chapter number 1.
Okay. Praise God. Who's our reader tonight?
All right. Do we have a reader? Did we forget to get a reader?
All right. Chapter 1.
Okay. Go right ahead. Over here. Okay. We got it over here. Okay. Y'all pointing all over the place. Okay. You don't want to do it? Okay. Who else? Was there anybody else? Okay. All right, we'll go ahead and we'll take Charles. Charles is our standby reader. Anytime we need a reader.
Jada, next time she walked in, Jada, you can point to her.
our standby reader is going to take it tonight, and that is Charles. He's always standing ready to be able to bring forth the word of God by reading it to us. So, what verse were we on, Mrs. Shorter?
Reader, let's read starting with verse number 10.
All right. Verse number 10.
Making requests. If by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God.
Romans chapter 1, verse 10. Making request.
If by any means, now at length, I may find.
Why don't we back it up to verse number?
Why don't we, you guys, when we're reading, let's try to make sure we read in New King James, just so we can be on one accord.
Let's back up to verse number 8 to get a running start at it. Romans 1 and 8.
Okay.
First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by some means now at least I may find a way in the will of God to come to you.
Okay, can we stop there, or you want to continue reading?
Let him continue to read till we get down to verse number 13.
Okay. For I long to see you, that I may impact to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me.
All right. Now, we're reading here.
We'll go ahead and stop there.
We'll stop right there. We may pick it up again, but I want to be able to include this as just the main thing, the theme that it's talking about, the communications to those that he was writing to and exactly what he was trying to say to them about visiting with them. Now, there's a couple of things in here that I want to bring forth, and you're going to have to excuse me because I just have this thing in my heart that we need to be thankful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. We should be thankful all the time. You know, I believe victory follows thanksgiving. I think a lot of times the reason why people are not, and there's a lot of ways of not being thankful. And I know we're talking about faith, and we're talking about trusting God. We're talking about faith in action. We're talking about things like that. But all of that, it means nothing. It will do nothing unless we have faith in God because we're thankful that God is even there to be able to have faith in.
That's part of faith, though, because if you believe, you receive whatever it is.
Yeah.
Joy, peace, then you thank God for that. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
And so that's part of faith, is being thankful.
Right. Now, I can't stress this enough, because it's in me, and it's not just because this is the month of Thanksgiving and all of that good stuff, but I really believe that we have a problem with even believers not being thankful as they should be. We should be more thankful and less complaining. Now, what happened to the complainers with the children of Israel? They ended up in the wilderness 40 years walking around in circles. And if you look at a whole lot of people that complain a lot, they look like they're walking in circles too. I mean, really, think of people that are really just belly achers, people that's always got some stupid stuff to say about stupid stuff. And they're just spinning their wheels, you know. We've seen this, you know, in a couple of places. I've seen a couple of men or people like this. One of them was in downtown Puyallup. This man that, I guess he was homeless or he lived in the area, but he looked like he was homeless. And we would watch him sometimes when we went down in downtown Puyallup, a little town there. And he had a challenge, because he would take 2 steps forward and like 3 steps backward. It would take him forever to get across the crosswalk. He just didn't have confidence enough to be able to just keep walking. He would always take 1 or 2 steps, and then he'd just stop for a second, and then he'd go back 2 or 3 more steps. And cars are just waiting and waiting and waiting. The light's changing, and he's not across yet. And he would do it again and again and again. And this is what reminds me of the people that's not thankful. You can't get ahead the way you need to if you're not thankful. And see, shutting your mouth is not the answer. You got to learn how to open your mouth. See, sometimes we say, let's praise the Lord, and all you do is clap your hands. No, you need to use your mouth. You need to use your words and say something. We're supposed to declare. We're supposed to proclaim to the Lord. And a lot of us are uncomfortable with saying things about how great God is. You have to learn how to, well, because really there's very few scriptures that says clap your hands. There's one scripture that says clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. But clapping your hands really is not a great way to praise God, because we clap our hands for a lot of things. What you need to do is you need to express, especially that you're thankful to God. Get it to God. And see, that way he gets the praise. Nobody else gets that praise. And this is why Paul was saying here in the 8th verse, I'm glad we went back to the 8th verse, it said, first, I thank God through Jesus Christ. First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all. You need to thank God for all the people that's impacting your life. You think you can make it by yourself? No, you can't. This is how God knows you can make it. You need a church group. You need other believers. You need other fellows in your ship to fellowship with. You do. You don't know how much you're pulling off of other people that's around you. And you stay alone, you know, it's not good for you to be alone, right, Mrs. Shorter?
That is so true. And I didn't want to say her name. I wish I had that letter we just received yesterday. Of the person that used to attend this church, and now she's living in another state.
Strong believer.
And she wrote us, and we received a letter yesterday, came into the office and received a letter yesterday, and it was just really a letter of thanksgiving, thanking us for being a part of her spiritual journey, you know, the first part of really her spiritual journey and impacting her life and everything. So it was just a letter of thanks.
She's moved to Alabama now.
Yeah.
Her husband passed away.
Yeah.
She was a strong member in this church and a strong giver. And she wants to now tithe from Alabama to this church because it has impacted her life so much. Yeah. You know, even though she's receiving, I don't know if she watches live stream or whatever. If so, hello, how are you? But, you know, we need to be thankful for people in our lives. You know, the old saying, you don't miss the water till the well runs dry. Well, you don't miss the water till the well runs dry. okay? You can try to go to that well when you ain't got no water in it. You're going to miss that water. And see, we need to realize, and I'm thankful to God that at least I did this. I realized that when we were spending time with Apostle Price and traveling and doing all these regional meetings and doing all the things and going over to Israel and Turkey and all those Greece and all those places, I'm thankful that I really made myself pinch myself and say, you better enjoy this, because he's not going to be here forever. And see, you need to enjoy where you are right now with this church, because this is not forever. There will come a time that you're too old maybe to even make it through the door. Or it's over. That era is over. That time is over. And you need to really cherish the people that you have in your life right now. You need to do it with your family. You should thank God for your family during this Thanksgiving time. I mean, the people that's really your family. I mean, you know, because there's the family of God, then there's family. Some are just blood, and others are blood and, I'll say, water. They've been baptized like you too. They drink of that living water as well. And so I'm telling you, we got to be thankful. And I watch people. My wife and I, we give to people, we bless people, we watch. Do they ever even say thank you? And some of them never do. They never do. And some of them won't even teach their children to say thank you. And you know what I say? You ain't getting nothing else from me. Because I'm not going to encourage that negative behavior. And I'm not negative about it, but it's just that you haven't learned the importance of thankfulness. You shouldn't even pray without ending it with thanksgiving.
Can we go to that scripture about when Jesus
Philippians?
Healed? No.
No, okay.
We're talking about thankfulness. So when Jesus healed those 10 lepers, remember?
I think it's Luke 17.
Even Jesus marveled at that.
Or 14.
See, and we are to be Christ-like because, you know, you could be sounding too hard, but then when you read the
17.
Bible, but mm-hmm. when you read the Bible, then you could see it. The reader, somebody can read it.
I'll go ahead and read it because I want to emphasize some of the scriptures.
And so if you can read that. But this goes along with what you're saying tonight to me, because, you know, it sounds like you could be, like, hard, but when you read the Bible, Jesus.
Hard?
No, I'm just saying to some people. No, I'm saying when you're saying, I'm not going to give to that person, keep giving to people that are not grateful
and
thankful.
Well, God doesn't bless those.
But
we're all blessed, and we all get air, and we get
but
water.
But what I'm saying is, Jesus, when you read this, you'll see that he was like, really? You know?
I know about the 10 lepers.
Saying.
Okay, yeah. Luke 17 and verse number 11, okay? Is that where you wanted to go?
Yeah, wherever the...
That's it. It says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, I believe he was on a mission. He wasn't just lollygagging along trying to see what he gonna find. I believe he knew what was gonna happen. He went to a certain village. And you have to thank God that God came to you, a certain person. You ought to be thankful, because a whole lot of people don't know Jesus at all. Or they had Jesus presented to them and they rejected him. Not everybody that hears about Jesus receives him. But you had sense enough to at least receive him.
Yeah.
And in his ministry received him, he did something. St. John chapter 1. We won't go there. I'll be preaching again. Okay, it says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria. So he didn't stop there. And Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men.
Say 10. Okay.
Now, there's 10 of them. Now, think about this, and this is what I'm talking about. Jesus, he went to this certain area because he knew by the Spirit of God, he knew that these lepers, these people that had leprosy, worse than AIDS, worse than, you know, COVID, worse than all these other diseases, it just eats your body up, okay? That's what leprosy does. But it doesn't kill you necessarily. Your hand is just being eaten up. I mean, you can see through your hand. Or see through your arm, because it just eats you up, but you're still alive. And so very contagious. I remember my brother, Robert Shorter, who passed away years ago, but he was ministering all over the Philippines and various other places with Marilyn Hickey and Lester Sumrall and some of the others. And he talked about going over to the Philippines and ministering at some of the leper colonies that they still have there in the Philippines. And, you know, like he was saying, God would make him so bold that he would actually touch the people. He wasn't afraid to touch them and pray for them. And some did receive their healing. Now here, all of them received their healing. Now, that's another thing you need to get a hold of. You should not expect for some to get healed. You should always expect if anybody going to get healed, you're going to get healed because you're believing. You're not hoping and praying. You believe in and receiving. Okay? So he went to this certain city and entered there in this certain place. And there he, then as he entered a certain village, that certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off because they're not supposed to be close to you at all. In the Jewish law, where they were still under the law until Jesus died on the cross. He hasn't died on the cross yet, so they're still operating under the Jewish law. They were to stay away from people and stay in their own group of lepers because they already got it, so you can't give it to them. So they had leper colonies, and groups of lepers would move together. And when they did move together, some of you already know this, but when they did move together, they would have to go on the opposite side of the street where the people were walking, and they would have to yell as they came down the road, "Unclean, unclean." And that meant, hey, we got leprosy. Don't come up here close to us. We are supposed to, by the Jewish law, to stay away from you. Now, you were unclean until Jesus came into you. We used to see you and say, "Unclean, unclean." See, but we should not be still unclean. There are unclean spirits, demonic forces, that if we give them entertainment or space in our lives, they will start controlling what we do in our lives. So you can't yield your flesh to an unclean spirit, or else you could be controlled by that spirit. The Lord's dropping it again. This Thanksgiving, he told me to tell you, do not drink alcohol. I know it's a tradition. Well, we always have a little sherry with Mary, and you know, Bloody Mary and a little bit of sherry. Well, leave both them sisters alone, okay? You don't need that, and you don't need Jack and his Daniels, and you don't need none of the rest of them suckers, because you don't need to be running into some tree trying to get home with that big old car. Okay. I'm just telling it like it is. God told me to tell you this. Make this the Thanksgiving that you do not crack that bottle open. In fact, he was going to have me bring a bottle of sparkling cider just to show you what you could buy to make you feel like you're drinking something. It does burn the back of your neck and back of your throat a little bit. You know, you like that burn. You know what I'm talking about? You want to get that burn a little bit. Oh, yeah. You don't feel like you're drinking anything until you get burned, you know. Yeah. Oh, that's strong. Yeah, the sparkling cider will do that too, but it's actually sugar that's burning your throat. It ain't the alcohol. But anyhow, see, we got to get a hold of this. You can make a decision and say, "God, I'm so thankful I'm not drinking this year," and tell all your relatives, "I ain't drinking no alcohol. Don't bring none up in my face." And then we're going to talk about it again when Christmas come around. Now, he who's celebrating Jesus' birthday and getting drunk. Lord, help us today. I just don't understand that. Or smoking reefer. You ain't think I'm coming that way, huh? Going down into the weeds, though. We're going to have a party. See, you ought to give that
stuff
up. Isn't
that unbelievable?
It is unbelievable.
Where you're people talking about going to a weed store. That's just...
Only in Washington. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, it's
throughout
just
the country.
Terrible.
So we want to make sure that we stay thankful, because all of us are lepers if God leaves us. You left showing up. You left her. You left. Anyhow, it says, here he comes. These 10 lepers stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, normally they would be saying unclean, unclean, but they're seeing Jesus. Now, they heard about Jesus. They had to hear about Jesus. See, and that's where faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And you will have whatever you say. 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 They could have said, Jesus, we got leprosy. You ain't going to get healed with that. You need to have mercy upon us. Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. You need to fall on the mercy seat of God sometime and just bawl your eyes out. You should just cry your eyes out. Oh, God, I need your help. You need to be broken sometimes. And I don't mean broke. I mean you need to allow your heart to be able to realize how much you could have been messed up if it wasn't for God. And just be thankful. Thank you, God. All those times I drank and tried to make it home, or, you know, people were shooting and I was around, all this kind of crazy stuff. You need to thank God for it. And so, you know, I just really believe that this is part of it. Let's continue. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. Now, a couple of things here. They're showing that they see Jesus as a master. See, because when we are not thankful, we put Jesus on the same level as everybody else. See, we need to exponentially make Jesus more important than anybody. And this is why I was teaching on Sunday. God showed me that there's a relationship with God, but there's a fellowship with man. You can't have the same relationship with God as you have with your brothers and sisters in the Lord, even. That relationship with God's got to be exponentially much more important. And when you try to just treat God like you ain't nothing. Yeah, I know, everybody trying to praise you, but I ain't thinking about you. You don't get a whole lot of out of heaven from that. And not that you're trying to get something, but you want God to be pleased. And so you need to please the Lord. You are not God and never will be. You will never be God. But God is almighty and will always be the almighty God. And he deserved the praise. All the stuff he's done for you, all the billions of people on this planet. That's right, all the billions of people on this planet. And here you are. He's watching over you out of the billions. Terrell just landed 6:35 tonight. And I text him and say, welcome home. He's been on a business trip since Monday. See, you know, we think nothing of that kind of stuff. But if he knew what really went on concerning all the stuff that had happened for him to get here, not that he doesn't, you know, we should be thankful then. There's a lot that has to happen to get your physical body back here. And it all went good, and he gets here, 6:35, comes in the service. 7:22. See, we have to be thankful to God. Yeah. I'm trying to beg with you, be thankful to God. Be thankful for the people that's in your life. People put up with you sometimes. They told me to tell you that. I'll collect my $5 afterwards. Yeah, from every one of you. Okay. So, have mercy upon us. What is mercy for a person that has leprosy? Heal me. What is mercy for you? See, you need to cry out to God. I cried out to God when I was going through all that craziness that's in my book. I cried out to God, and he had mercy upon me. And I asked for mercy because I didn't know what else to ask for. I mean, you know, when you're in that kind of way, you can't even function. Favor ain't going to help you a whole lot. You need some mercy. God, whatever is going on, have mercy upon me. Whatever has happened to me, give me mercy. See, we need to learn how to cry out to God. And there is no other being in the universe that can answer that.
And he said his mercies are new every morning.
That's right. They're new. Brand new.
Lamentations. Yeah.
That's right.
Third chapter, I think it is.
So he saw them. God sees you. But he didn't really pay attention to them till they said something. And you got to learn how to say something. This church is too quiet for all that God has done for you. You need to be thanking God. I mean, really thanking God. And I don't know all your business, but I know enough to be able to say you need to be thankful to God. We all should be. Amen? So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priest, which is what they were supposed to do. The priest was like
he responded to their mercy then.
That's right.
He responded. Asking for mercy.
Right. And he's saying, go and show yourself to the priest, because in him saying that, they were healed. Now, they could have stopped and said, man, what you talking about, show myself to the priest? Because the priest was in the position of that the physician is in now. Under the Jewish law, if you were to be proclaimed healed of leprosy, you didn't go to the doctor. You went to the priest, and the priest would examine you and proclaim that you had been healed of that leprosy, and then you didn't have to go to that leper camp anymore. You didn't have to be announcing that you're walking down the street. You have to do anything anymore. The priests were the ones that actually made the decision after looking at you to be able to say whether you were healed or not. And so they were obviously lepers when they walked up to Jesus, but he's saying as if they were already healed, because when he said it, they were, go, show yourself to the priest.
But they believed that.
That's right.
So they went, because they could have questioned him. What do you mean show ourselves to the priest? Because we're not healed yet.
Right.
You know, and so that was an act of their faith, because it says, and so it was that as they went.
Oh, I love that.
They were cleansed.
As they went.
Yeah. So that was
they went.
See, and faith, we were talking about that last week. Faith is an action.
As they went.
You have to do something, you know. You just can't, oh, Lord, I want, you know, this, or I want to do that. God's going to show you what to do as an act of faith.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this went and stuff is tied to come, because come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Jesus said, come to Peter on the water. We're told again and again and again to come. The prodigal son, which we're still studying, that man did not receive anything till he came home, or he had to come to himself. That word is important. See, because having the attitude that I'm going to come to church even is a way of being thankful that at least you can be able to come and hear the word of God. But when you punk God off, I ain't coming. You don't say that, but we can have an attitude like that. I don't need to come. Or I don't believe it's going to help to come. See, because they could have said, go show myself to the priest. This guy's, man, come on. What a quack. What a quack. Tell me, show myself to the priest. He know he see us. We walking around half here. Most of our body missing. And he's talking about, go show yourself to the priest. I ain't thinking about him. See, this is what I'm talking about, these Christians. They're always saying stuff. They could have said that. Here it is, Jesus, trying to say all this stuff about go show yourself to the priest. He know we're going to look like a fool showing ourselves to the priest. See, and this is where some of us are. So I'm just going to stay home and watch Gunsmoke. Stealing your life from the other day. I'm staying home. I'm watching. Lord, really? Really? Okay. I was asked to preach when I first started preaching. I was asked to preach at this Baptist church that I respected the pastor a whole lot. And I was going to preach on a Sunday night, and this was probably about the second or third time I had preached outside of the church that I was with, and I showed up there after praying and being very serious about this and fasting a little bit, and I was, you know, a little nervous because I got to preach. And this is a pretty nice-sized church. Nope, it was not. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Anyhow. Yeah, okay. Anyhow, and I showed up. So I showed up, and they took me to the pastor's study. And when I came in there, I thought maybe we're going to be praying in the spirit for a while, and we're going to be sitting there, and we're going to be, whoa, we got to get this service. Lord Jesus, help us. Da, 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 da. I went in the pastor's study. Y'all ain't going to believe this. And he was watching Star Trek. I kid you not. He was watching Star Trek. And I was like, hello? Hi, I'm here to preach. He said, just a minute. I asked the Lord why he's having me tell this tonight. He just dropped it in me a couple minutes ago. I remembered it. And so I sat there with my Bible going, okay, it's getting closer to the time for us to get out there. And finally, the episode was ending. And he turned the TV off and turned to me and said, I like that episode. I lie not. I would not lie on a preacher. I said, okay. Because I thought, you know, we're going to go into pastor's study. It's going to be, we're going to be praying, ooh, in Jesus' name, Lord, bring your anointing. No. He was watching Star Trek. And I really didn't know how to handle it. You know, I really didn't. I tried to be cordial and still respectful because this was an older preacher, well known in the city. And so I waited for him to say, let's pray before we go out. He never did that. He just grabbed his Bible and... And we went to the sanctuary. And I was like, man, you got to be kidding me. Because, you know, I'm young. I'm a new young preacher. And I'm thinking, that, you know, this is going to be a real good experience to learn from. Man, shoot. It was crazy. And I just didn't understand why he did that. And I still don't. But he was a Trekkie. He loved Star Trek. See, and we can put God along with everything else. You know, oh, I got to turn the TV off. Doggone it, that's my best episode. No, instead of that, we should be prioritizing the things of God because we're thankful to God. Now, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm not giving a name or anything, but it's just sad to see that. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed. Now, they haven't gone to the priest yet. But he saw that he was healed. One of them, say one of them.
I asked started you, with how many? Now we have how many? We're talking about one person now.
And I like to ask the question, are you the one? Are you the one? Would you be the one? You got to think about that. Would you be the one that out of those 10 said, I can't do that.
And you know, we have to be careful, too, when we say stuff like that. That's why sometimes when people ask me, you know, a question like you're doing, so I say, I just pray that I would be that one. Yeah. Sometimes I'm not, so yeah, I'll be the one. Because I think about Judas all the time, where he said, oh, God, I'm not going to, Jesus, I would never deny you. I would just never.
Yeah,
no, that
too.
Was Peter. That was Peter. That wasn't Judas.
Yeah.
And so Peter said, I'll never deny you. I'll never deny you. And sometimes we have to be sort of careful, too, to be so quick to say, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't, you know. And so sometimes I just say, you know, I pray that I wouldn't make those kind of choices. You know, I would hope and pray that I would be that one, you know, to make the right choice. Because sometimes, you know, when we're not really in that position and things are going on, we don't know how we would do it, you know, sometimes. And so we just pray that we would, okay, that scripture's coming to me. It says when we think we're standing, then we can end up falling.
Yeah.
And so
it's in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall.
See,
because you can think you're all that. Well, I would never do that. Well, you don't know what you would do. You put in a situation like that, you need to make sure that you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's
but
what we would should
you,
say.
You shouldn't be braggadocious. Oh, man, come on. That kind of thing. How did he fall like that? I sure wouldn't. You don't know what you get in that circumstance. You don't know what you would do.
So my thing is, I like to say it that way. I just pray that I wouldn't do that,
right.
I would just really hope that I wouldn't make those kind of decisions to, not be grateful and thankful to, because we've all denied Jesus before, and all of us, I said all of us have before, because there's times we didn't stand up for Jesus when we could have stood up for him.
That's true.
Maybe with our coworkers or somewhere, even in the store or something, we could have spoke up, but we didn't. We were quiet. And we denied Christ, really, in a sense. And I know I have done that before. And then when the situation's over, I said, gosh, I should have said something. And I had to say, now, why didn't I? And I said, okay. I was afraid maybe I was going to be rejected by that person, or I didn't want to start an argument,
Right.
So we have to, just continue to pray and ask God to strengthen us and help us, that when we are faced with choices, that we would make the right choice.
Yeah.
And ask the Holy Spirit every day to help us to make the right choice. Because we have to be careful.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about this too. Because Paul, go to 1 Corinthians 1. I will. I'll come back to it. But 1 Corinthians 1, we want to be able to, we'll come back to that. Keep your finger right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul again says, I thank my God in verse number 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which has been, was given to you by Jesus Christ. He consistently is thankful for not just himself, but for the other people around him.
Yeah.
And we have to be thankful. I'm thankful for all of you. Mm-hmm. I really am. I'm, some of you stick out more than others because I see you more.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful for every one of you because God is the one that sent you here.
Yeah.
And even in Ephesians chapter 1. See, this is how he started out his letters in a lot of these places. I won't go to all of them, but it says in verse number 18, it says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers.
Amen.
I mean, just be thankful. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Y'all still here?
Yeah.
Are we having a Bible study or what?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course we are.
Bible.
We're in our Bible, aren't we? Look at verse number 6. It says in 4:6, Philippians 4:6, says, be anxious. This ought to take all the anxiety out of you.
Mm-hmm.
You should not be anxious for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Be anxious for no thing or nothing. But in everything by prayer, in everything by prayer, in everything by prayer or with prayer and supplication. Now, supplication, my way of explaining supplication is that you're just putting a demand on the word of God that already guarantees you have that. So you're not begging for nothing. You're just saying, Lord, this is mine, and I believe I receive it in Jesus' name because I know what your word says. That's what I believe is that part of supplication, okay? Every prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. See, then let your request be known unto God. Because, see, we come to God, oh, God. No, we don't have no thanksgiving. We're just sitting there moaning and groaning and mad at God because he ain't showed up yet. And we got to change the posture. Our prayer should always end with thanksgiving.
Amen.
or should
really
be with
start Thanksgiving. With Thanksgiving.
That's
too.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Because it says that we are to enter His courts. With we should probably go there, huh? So I could quote it right, right? I think it's what is it? Psalms
100.
Let me see here.
Well, you go ahead and do that, and let me finish this. So, be anxious for what? How many things? Be anxious for how many things? Does that include money? Does it include your relationship? Does it include your marriage? Does it include your children? Does it include your health? Be anxious. Now, it takes work to be able to get this kind of faith. But be anxious. Don't let nothing rock your boat. Be anxious for nothing. Why? Well, I could take you to Romans 8 and 26 through 28 and say, because all things work together for your good. So what are you worried about? See, that's a lack of faith when you start worrying about or being anxious for things when you know that God is saying that all things work together for your good.
So go ahead, in Psalms 104, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And I like to think of it this way. When you come into the church, you you enter into the doors. Yeah. You know, his gates with thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And then when you're praying at home, we need to know that that's how we enter into God's very throne room of, with thanksgiving. So we should start with praise. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't start with problems.
Right.
You know, listing all of our problems, we need to start with praise. You know, we need to praise God and thank God for a new day. And that's
thank
what
God
I'm saying.
He's hearing
thank
you.
Thank God for
thank
a new
God
day.
That you can pray.
Thank God. Yeah, right. Thank God that He hears us when we pray.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and then you go into another form of prayer because that is a form of prayer.
Right. Thanksgiving.
It's Thanksgiving. That's a form of prayer. So when you're thanking Lord, you're praying. And then you enter in His courts, you enter to God, you come to Him like that, and then you say, you know, you may ask for something or, you know, pray for someone else, intercede for someone. That's a form of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we have to know the difference of
knowing
how to pray. You know, we know that we should pray, but do we know how to pray?
Right.
And so we should intercede for people too. And that's intercessory prayer.
Right.
And
right.
so, and that's what Paul was talking about.
Right.
I pray for you all.
Right.
So he was interceding for them.
Going back to Luke chapter 17.
And we're going to get ready to close.
We're getting ready to close. Okay. Yep. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. Oh, I got that. Okay. I got that. See, you got to realize that man shall not live by bread alone. We know that very well. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So my question to you, when was the last time you heard God's mouth? Mm-hmm. You hearing God's mouth right now. We are mouthpieces. Now, if you don't believe that, you ain't going to get much. I tried to show you this on Sunday about believe God, you'll be established. Believe His prophets, that's how you prosper. It's like, believe God, you'll have a car you can sit in. Believe the prophets, you'll get some gas and go somewhere. So you can sit in that car all day long. You ain't going nowhere till you believe the prophets. You believe them preachers. And God made it that way so that you will have a vested interest in believing the people that's before you. Now, there's a lot of jackleg everything. There's jackleg doctors. There's jackleg teachers. There's jackleg politicians. There's jackleg presidents. There's jackleg CEOs and jackleg yous and me's. Everybody can be a jackleg, okay? But everybody is not a phony. And once you find somebody that's not a phony, you need to get up in there and start listening to what thus says the Lord and listening to those words, because the words are how you go. Show yourself to the priest. I have spoken to cancer. Lord said, talk about what you've done. I've spoken to cancer and it's gone away just like that. Spoken to aneurysms. 95% you're dead. 95% of the people that have an aneurysm in the brain, they're gone. Smoke the aneurysm. They ain't came back. And they ain't coming back in Jesus' name. Go, show yourself to the priest. I've spoken over people. You'll have the house by Thursday. He's sitting back there with the house. He got on Thursday, Dwayne. Had no place to go. You've got to believe this. Because it's not a preacher. It's not a man. It's not me. It's God that's speaking to you. And that's a bold thing to say as a man sitting up here. I shouldn't have to say it for myself. You should be telling other people yourself that that's a man of God. And when that man of God speaks, I believe what he says. I believe what they're saying. I believe that God is speaking to me. So you got to get this. Because if you didn't believe, go show yourself to the priest. If you never would have believed that, then you wouldn't have went. As they went. You should believe you're not coming to this church for nothing. Every time you went here, you should be believing you're getting something. So you need to keep winning. Coming. Every time you come to church, you ought to expect a load of something from the Lord. Instead of coming up here, you're just trying to be seen. The pastor saw me. Whoop-dee-doop-dee-doo. Did you take any words with you? Nope, didn't take nothing. Didn't believe a word he said. Just listened to him and just sat there. Well, so did the chairs. That's why they don't get nothing. The chairs don't believe nothing either. They can't. They ain't got a brain to believe with. They ain't got a heart to be able to put it in. God wants you to receive something. This is not an exercise of your body. It's supposed to be an exercise of your faith. Amen. Well, I came. That's an exercise of your body. But did you believe what you received when you came? That's an exercise of your faith. And if you keep coming and just coming and not waiting for a reason, you are going to stay the same. And that's not the objective of this game. You are supposed to be changed. This is supposed to be a practice for heaven. You are doing a dress rehearsal for heaven. As he is, so are we in this world. He ain't sick. He ain't broke. He's not disgusted. He's not anxious. Go back to that. I got to read that and then I'm going to close it out right there. Okay, so he said, go and show yourself to the police. And as they went, they were cleansed or they were healed as they went. And some things are not going to happen until you get your rump out of that stupid house and get yourself up in this church and sit here and listen again. And again.
Now he's talking to the choir, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not.
No,
because
you're talking
we got live
to live
stream.
No, that's what I was going to say. He's not just talking to you guys. He's talking to folks that's watching us by live stream right now,
too. You've got to put some effort into this thing. This is not a convenient thing to do. Being a Christian is not just a life of convenience. You're supposed to serve God. We read that earlier. I didn't point it out, but we did.
We have to realize that our time is not really our time. It's God's time.
That's right.
God has given us this time, and
right.
We should prioritize
He's
the time with him, and that's going to church.
It's like God gave you a clock with time on it, and he sits back and watch what you do with the time.
Well, we're going to give an account. I mean, he's an accountant, so we're going to give an account to him, really, for everything that we've done. The Bible
right.
says that.
Let's go back to Philippians. I got to finish this. 4 and 6. It says, be anxious for how many things? So stop worrying. It also says that in Matthew 6. Stop worrying. Don't worry. 6 and 28 says that. But in everything. How many things?
Everything.
By prayer and supplication. I mean, you got to go to work tomorrow. Why don't you pray about what you need to do before you go to work? Mm-hmm. Lord God, what's going to happen tomorrow? I mean, God will give you an insight how to be able to handle that job. You come up with stuff that you don't know, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. It says, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So don't even come to God and ask for nothing until you thank him first. It says, come to God. And the peace of God, this is how you get the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can't have the peace of God unless you're thankful. Unthankful people are the most miserable people on the planet.
Yeah.
We owe you. What do we owe you?
And you know,
we
could complain about everything. We could be ungrateful
ridiculous.
About everything.
You get to the point, people only want to talk to you because it's going to be a complaint.
Really. But we really should be thankful. We should really practice it, you know, being thankful and stop ourselves. Say, do I really have to complain about that? I mean, do I really have to, you know, be unthankful about that situation? Mm-hmm. You know, I hate my job. Well, you can go get another one. You know what I'm saying?
Or get fired.
But you, while you're there, no, really, while you're there, you should be thankful for it. Really?
Yeah.
Until God gives you something
else.
And
you need to be you should be the best worker on that. I told you, you should make a decision that you're going to set the standard in your sphere of influence. Whatever you do, you should be the best that does it. Amen. Best one that does that. Amen. You should be an example. You shouldn't be the one that's always, they're always talking about, you know, because, you know, gosh, man, what are we going to do with them? What are we going to do?
We really should practice that because,
and
remember,
you say, well, that's what
practice
they get,
makes
they're
it
heathens.
Perfect.
You should work good for the heathen and for the Christian, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes you go to work for a Christian, you wish you was working for a heathen.
Yeah. Really. Well, that's true, too. Because sometimes we think sometimes the Christians are worse. We can just pray all day on the job. And I had to tell a young lady that we had hired many years ago before we even moved into this building. I said, look, we hired you not to sit on the phone and praying for everybody. We hired you to do some work. We need some paper. We need these memo typed.
We
need these letters typed. You know? So we're not paying for you to just sit here and pray for everybody on the phone. And so sometimes we think that, you know, we think that we can do that, but there's a scripture about being a blessing to your employer, no matter if they're a non-Christian. Mm-hmm. There's a scripture about that. So it's a scripture for everything, basically.
That's true.
Because it's a lifestyle Bible. Okay. So, no, we need to finish this, okay? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. We need to finish this off.
Go ahead.
And with a loud voice, glorified God.
One.
And fell down on his face.
Was
he
that
was
you?
Really thankful at his feet.
One.
Giving him thanks. Giving the Lord thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And so Jesus answered, which people, they weren't, the Samaritan was a mixed race. But anyway, so Jesus answered and said, and this is what I'm saying. Jesus he took notice of this. And so that's
what
we're saying
earlier.
That, you know, when people do nice things for you, you should be grateful. Because Jesus took note of this and he said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, he got a special blessing. He said, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. So I believe that was because well, if you look it up in the Bible, is shalom too, is peace in every area. So I believe maybe they got healed physically, but I believe he got some extra, you know, in his life. So that's just my faith of believing. But the point is that Jesus himself said, I thought there were 10. Only one came back.
There was 10. They got healed. They all got healed.
There were 10
but only
people,
one would think.
But only one came back, and Jesus took notice of that.
You know,
so,
I remember.
We should be really grateful and thankful, you know, when people do things for us, things. Okay.
I remember. One of the first people that we hired here, he worked doing a lot of stuff, and he was a great worker. And in my heart, I'm always thankful for people that do things, even if they're staff members and getting paid. I'm just thankful. But I hadn't been expressing it enough, apparently, because he really got to me. He said, you know, I do a lot of stuff around here, and I hardly ever hear you say thank you. I said, you know, you're right. You know, I really am thankful in my heart. That guy changed my life. I tell people all the time, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I remember him in my mind that people don't have to do nothing for you. Thank you. I mean, thank you, thank you. What does it hurt for you to say thank you? And see, some of us, we deal with, you know, well, what am I going to say if I don't complain about the situation? Here's what it is. Last verse, we're going to read here in Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, my brethren, whatever things, this is what you talk about, things that are true, whatever things are noble or honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue or excellence, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And what you meditate on is what's going to come out of your mouth. And the things which you have heard and received, I'm sorry, learned and received and heard and saw in me, Paul says, watch me, because I'll be an example. These things do, and the God of peace will be with you.
Now, it's not saying you can't correct your children, or if you're in management, you know, you have to deal with situations, stuff like that. But this is talking about just being grateful when people do nice things for you. You heal by the Lord. In fact, we're getting ready to receive the tithes and offerings. We should. That's one of the reasons why we tithe and give, because we are thankful. We're thankful to God.
Amen.
And so we want to keep His ministry going forward. Amen.
Right. Right.
All right. So let's praise the Lord.
Come on, give God some praise.
Come
let's thank Him.
Thank the Lord.
Open your mouths along
praise
with clapping
you,
your
Father,
hands.
We thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Come on, say, Lord.
Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For life.
For life.
And it.
And it.
More abundantly.
More abundantly.
I thank you. I like that song. For the very breath that I breathe.
Yes, Lord.
Come on, say, I thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For the breath you have given to me.
The breath
for my health.
For my health.
For my family members.
For my family.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
for my
Lord.
Church.
Thank you, Lord.
For my pastor.
For my pastor.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus.